southern districts of Earth here, unfortunately, in Florida. We tried Brother Alan. Gonna try to get him on the line. Stand by. Boy.
Rich man.
Yeah, yeah, you hear me, boy?
Yes, Richard.
Old intro song.
Praise
Isn't that nice? All right, so Watcher Radio representing East Coast, but not New York, down here in the southern districts of Earth, known as Florida, home of alligators and snakes and heat waves in July and August that can slay a man at 100 degrees and 100% humidity. Isn't it wonderful?
Praise the Lord.
We're going to do a word here today. This is Watcher Radio representing East Coast, but not New York, down here in the southern districts of Earth, known as Florida. And I got Brother Alien on the line, known as Alan, and he's up north in New York.
Praise the Lord.
Home of crime, Thanks. Abortion, and lawlessness. It's just, you know,
isn't that
wonderful.
Isn't that just New York City and not all of New York? Like, upstate is pretty nice.
I don't know. My mother said on her block they were soaring people's catalytic converters out, stealing them. There's just craziness everywhere, boy.
That's kind of bad.
You think?
Yeah, you know, I have an escape plan. If it ever gets real bad, I just pile everything into my gas-guzzling SUV and roar on up to either Jersey, Connecticut, or all the way down to Pennsylvania.
Are you done
or maybe
with the
even
small
Virginia.
Talk yet, boy?
Now I am, thanks.
Oh, man, I don't have my laughing track ready. Damn.
What a shame.
Yeah, the laughing track was supposed to come in right there to make me sound funny.
Because you need it.
I know. It worked, too. People are like, wow, you have a lot of people laughing at your joke. Yeah, I do. And Alan has zero.
Okay, we'll see about
hold
that.
On. This is coffee with Kiltron. This is my seventh cup. Ooh. Oh, Lord help us. All right, so the world is going nuts. Nothing new to report. Brain-dead diaper man Biden is now, you know, it's the old saying, if you can't win, join him. He's like, heck, well, let's just blow up the earth if we're going to lose the power of Congress. So he wants nuclear war now for some reason.
It's funny, they convicted Donald Trump, or they falsely accused Donald Trump of going to starting World War III, and now Biden's about to do it, and Democrats don't care. Amazing.
No, there's nothing Biden can do wrong. He literally is involved in sex trafficking, selling the country out to our enemies, selling our oil reserve to China.
Hey, you just said something about the sex trafficking. Yeah, that's the subtle effect of leaving the southern border open and lots of grown men showing up with kids, each of them. And then it's like, where's your wife? I left her down in Guatemala or whatever. Why didn't you, if it's so dangerous down there, why'd you leave her there? No, it's sex trafficking coming up through the southern border. And
yeah,
they bring
caught,
that fentanyl
caught
stuff.
A plane load of young women being flown up north. So these people are satanic. They love sexually abusing people. Biden, if you can't figure out what he's up to by kissing and everybody grabbing at them, I mean, it's pretty obvious. He literally just, you know, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speak. Have you ever read that verse, anyone? But if you have,
yes,
that means whatever you're subtly just spewing out of your mouth every now and then really reveals where you're coming at. Yeah. That's why when you just take a step back and watch someone talk sometimes, you can really get a clue what level of narcissism they're at, saw a guy on Disgrace Book the other day, and it just grieves my spirit every time I'm looking at his posts. He's like, I said. I'm like, what the heck is this guy? It's like, you remember Lucifer said, I will ascend to heaven. It's like anytime you see someone saying I all the time, it's like a spirit of narcissism. You're trying to exalt yourself. It's very dangerous. You got to remember, the Lord has kept you alive. Herod learned this when worms ate out his grind. A lot of people don't know that he did not give glory to God when he was supposed to. You read the book of Acts, and you're like, well, worms ate Herod and he died. Well, if you research Josephus and you research what happened to him, it was very deadly. They were exalting him, and he did not refute it. And because of that, he got a disease on his genitals. If you research it, it was a gangrene. And it literally rotted his genitals until worms went into his body and ate him from the inside out. It wasn't an instant worm eating. Like when you read about it, he's like, worms ate him and he died. No, worms grew on his genitals.
Wow.
It stunk him out with gangrene and then ate him inside out. He literally was eaten by worms. Okay, so that's how God feels about this self-exaltation spirit of narcissism. It's not a game. People think God is a game. And when you read about that, you're like, wow, that's pretty severe. Wow. Yeah. It is pretty severe. You know what else is pretty severe, Alan?
What?
When Ananias and Sapphira decided to lie to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
How were they dealt with?
They died right there on the spot, moments after uttering the lies that each did.
Where's the grace of God?
That's up to God, people. You don't know where the line of grace is in your life. You just don't know. You might see someone else involved in great transgression and getting away with it. And you're like, wow, maybe this is the once saved, always saved, baby, And all of a sudden you wind up dead in hell and you're like wondering why you didn't make it to that level of iniquity. That's because the line you couldn't see. And I got news for you. Too much is given, much accountable. That's right. And if you were forgiven much, you should be loving much. And if you're loving much, you should obey God and what he's told us to do.
Amen.
But you don't know where that line of grace is. A. E. Allen talks about this. If you listen to God as a killer, he goes into great detail of a man that was blown away in the head for being an adulterer. Oh, yeah.
You want to give the three-sentence summary of the story of that story, please? I don't know.
Would it be three sentences? Fail. No. It'd be many.
Okay.
But it had to do with a man that was knew another man and was waiting for him to go on business trips, and he would climb up into her bedroom, and one time, somehow the Lord revealed it, and he was waiting with a gun up there one time and blew his head right off.
Wow.
It's a true story. God does not want us involved in transgression. So the name of this broadcast today is What the Cake Bake Flim Flam Preachers Aren't Telling You. I'll repeat that. What the Flim Flam Cake Bake Preachers Aren't Telling You. That's the title of today's broadcast. And I think it's important for us to compound and go over the level of the requirements of Scripture for us to make it. That sometimes we think God is winking at everything. And he might be. I don't know. I'm not God. It says he'll have grace on who will have mercy on who he wants. What that verse means is he does what he wants. I know that sounds crazy. But God can do whatever he wants. He can have grace on whoever he wants at any time. And if you know that, you understand what King David was saying when he was laying out on the earth, fasting, when it was already proclaimed that his child would die, the adulterous affair he had with Bathsheba. Well, that child was spoken would die as part of the judgment for that adulterous affair and murder. But he decided to lay out on the dirt fasting. And when they brought him the news that the baby had died, he got up and went and ate food. And they were confused. And he said, I'll be going to where he is, but he's not coming to where I am. And it, he said, it shall be you don't know with the Lord. You see that? A lot of people skip over that. You don't know with the Lord, he said. Meaning, he could change his mind. We want God changing his mind for the better for us in our lives. And one way to assure that is extending grace. That's right. And you're extending mercy. That's right. You want to extend grace. You want to extend mercy to affairs and situations in your life.
Is it because the merciful shall obtain mercy and because we always reap what we sow?
Yes, exactly. Let me ask you, Alan, if you're sowing grace and mercy, what do you think you'd receive?
I believe I would receive grace and mercy. Amen.
If you forgive those that have offended you or sinned against you, what do you think God will do for you?
God will forgive me, and God will put people in my life that will forgive me also.
What an interesting formula. Is it really that simple?
Because we reap what we sow. God's a hard guarantee by God. The unbelievers call it karma, but we know it's reaping and sowing because it says it in the Bible.
Is God mocked?
Not at all. That's actually the words that comes right before everyone reaps what they sow. Because you can't sow wickedness and reap righteousness. We can't sow hatred and get love. We always reap what we sow. We can't be lazy at work and reap promotions and raises. That it works that way also.
People, we are called to live holy. A lot of people have been misconceived to the fact that they need to do ordinances of the law to do that. And they're running around trying to do these laws things, running around and living in tents, blowing horns all the time. And that necessarily is not what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about loving him with all your heart, your body, your soul, all your being, and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Which even includes being like the Samaritan person that stopped to help the person that was mugged along the way, helping others, blessing others, loving your neighbors as yourself. Because if you were mugged, you would help you. If you were fallen by the wayside, you would help you. So we do that for others also. Amen.
Very important, folks. You can hang everything on those two.
By the way, we also, when we read Job, everybody normally, or at least I do, is amazed at Job's wealth. But as you listen to Job talk about his life, he has the orphans eat at his table. He would break the jaws of the wicked. He would bless people around him all the time. And the most important commentary on Job's life is what God said about him in Job chapter 1. Job fears God and turns from evil. Amen.
That's right, people. And I'm going to read here in Peter, 1 Peter 4. Dear friends, don't be surprised that fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his sufferings, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. But here we go. If you're suffering, however, it must not be because you're a murderer or a stealer or a troublemaker or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. I'm going to stop there because it talks about judgment beginning in the house of God. Okay? And judgment's coming to the world also. Now, this is important in Peter here because he goes over the sufferings of those that are doing wicked things. And there's many out there that are going through trials that we bring on ourselves. That's right. Trials can be invited by your lifestyle. Meaning you open the door to the enemy and now you got darts flying in. And then you're going, woe is me, and a situation has slammed you. I'm telling you here, repentance of that door opening is the key to getting loose from those darts. Oh, yeah. That is the key to breaking out of the trial that you brought in you. He's talking about the sufferings for being a murderer. Now, I will tell you that Christ upped the level of murder. It's not just murderer. It's those that hate someone in their heart, their brother in the heart. That's right. Anger and hatred are murder, according to Christ. I'll ask Alan, is Christ lying?
Never. It's impossible for God to lie. That's in Hebrews. Amen.
What I'm trying to say here, you can invite a trial and suffering on you because you open that door. How many out there have done that?
Everyone.
I have. We have to break that door down. Stealing. Stealing's another big, giant doorway there, especially on the internet. You get a free movie here or something comes your way, some type of software, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're a thief. We can't have that. You could steal in many, many ways. We have to make sure we're closing these doors. Next one, Peter says, making trouble. Gee. You can bring in a door of recompense, a fiery trial. Peter's saying, if you're suffering for these, this has nothing to do with the sufferings of righteous in Christ. You are bringing it into your life by opening this door to some of these realms. Troublemaker! How could we do that? I'm just curious. Well, let me think. Maybe by being a gossiper or a slanderer. That's right. And social media has become an empire to grasp Christians in a realm that has never been perceived before to happen. They get dragged in to just spending most of their time on these chat threads. And they get snared in lusts with these reels. All these girls are going face disgracebook. And it's all these girls from all over the world. They're on these reels dancing around in yoga pants. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. What happened to face disgracebook? Disgracebook got worse. I left for 6 months. I come back. They got these reels where everybody, they're doing these, and they got thousands of people on there. Lust. So when you see adultery, Christ up that too. If you look upon a woman lustfully, that is adultery. If you hate someone in your heart and angry in your heart, that is murder. This is according to Jesus, not me. So we have to guard these areas. Disgracebook is a war zone. It's a sex hook now. You can go down the sex hook rabbit hole real quick on there. Oh, yeah, the enemy knows exactly what reel to send your way. Don't need it. Need to close the door. Troublemaker! That's what Peter's saying. Prying into others' affairs. He says it right there. You can have recompense and a door open in your life and suffering in your life, and you're suffering and you're like, well, prying into others' affairs. Think about that. You're not suffering for Christ. You're not suffering for the righteousness of Christ, which you'd be blessed for. You're literally suffering because you might be a troublemaker or prying into other people's affairs. Nosy. He's talking about nosy people. You can have a door open in these areas. But if you're suffering for the being a Christian, praise God, he says. For the time has come for judgment must begin in the house of God. But judgment begins with us. What terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news. All right. I think we kind of nailed that home, guys. This is what your cake-baked flim-flam preachers are not telling you. They are not telling you. The hooks of lust are all over social media. And that's the big problem. This was not around years ago. You just didn't have this level. You had to work at getting your lust going. You might have to take your car, burn some gas, get some cash out, go into the porn bookstore, look like a joker going in there roaming around like a nutcase, getting your porn, getting it into a bag, spending more gas to go home. You had to work at your lust. Not anymore. The devil has made it a meal on wheels for you. Got to close this door. There's an account of a woman years ago known Candy Montgomery, Texas. And she was a choir singing woman that became a murderer. And this all started with her pastor, a woman pastor, that started reading herself. This is before everything I'm telling you. This is back in the 70s. And back then, what was big were romance novels. Anybody ever hear of that?
Yeah.
Well, that was big back then. And the pastor, woman pastor, decided that she would pass a book along to one of her congregation. Her name was Candy Montgomery. And she was normal, going to church, singing in the choir, living a life with her husband. But there was power in someone, an authority in her life, speaking over her, passing something her way, and she grabbed it. And because it was someone of authority in her life bringing something her way, it had more power. And in that case, that romance novel brought her down a demonic loophole of lust where she began to fantasize about adultery. And she went down that path, unfortunately. That little book passed down from her pastor something that looked harmless, something not as easy accessible as the internet today, the romance novel, burnt something in her spirit and brought a demon with it and opened up a door of lust. And all of a sudden, she started dressing differently. All of a sudden, she had a seductive eyeshadow and makeup on. All of a sudden, she's going to the discotheque that night. Back then, disco was big. And all of a sudden, she's now in an adulterous affair with another man's woman. And she knew the woman from church. And this went down a rabbit hole of complete chaos and wound up, she got so jealous because that man started to reconcile with his wife and wanted to stop it. She killed her. She murdered the woman. And you know what the worst part about it is? How crafty the enemy is? She didn't even go to jail for it, I don't think. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure she got away from going to jail. So what I'm saying is the smallest door, the smallest opening can create such havoc, turmoil, and death. And you see, in David's case, was looking in a window and did look on a pretty girl and did get jealous when he had to deal with her husband, and the same account had him killed. So lust, adultery, lead down a very terrifying road. It magnifies. We don't want this in our lives, guys. We have to close doors. Why? Why? Why do we have to do that? Well, Jesus specifically was asked, many times, on what you have to do to gain eternal life. And he does come out and just say it. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever thought about that? The scribes and Pharisees preached the word. The scribes and Pharisees tried to appear they were obeying the word, tithing down to the mint and rue all the way down. And Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Meaning they were hypocrites. Hypocrisy is one of the biggest transgressions in the cake, bake, flim, flam church. Hypocrisy. Saying you love God and not obeying the word of God.
By the way, the word hypocrite means play actor.
Actors,
so you're literally literally acting like something when you're not really it. Amen.
That's the leaven of the Pharisees. It is sin. But then Jesus went on to say, and I lost the scripture, but let's look for, you know what? Let's just go over to Luke 18, verse 20, where he actually just says, you know the commandments, you must not commit adultery. Now, we went over this. Lust, not just adultery, that's bad, but also lusting from your eyes is adultery, according to Jesus. And I think Alan said Jesus wasn't lying. Right, Alan?
That's right.
Okay. Jesus was not lying. So we got to believe him. And if he's saying it, it's true. Got to close these doors down quick. You must not be a murderer, Jesus said. You must not steal. We went over that. This is kind of everything Peter was talking about. So these are big transgression. Also honoring your mother and father. And there's a blessing of life on your body when you do that. Long life would be bestowed upon you. Honor your mother and father. But again, we know he had a problem with his possessions. He had something going on, this man, where he was rich. And because he had many possessions, they became idolatrous in his life. So there's a great blessing on not having too much. Because having a lot can become a snare, unless it really don't mean much to you. And God knows when it does. So let's go right over to... Matthew 7, 13 to 14. And this is the key, guys. This is real important. Let's go over this together. Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many be there be which on. Meaning there's many on that road. There's many that have found a not their straight gate. They have found a broad road. And here's the key. If your pastor, if the preacher has a broad spectrum of cake-bake-ism, that's a new word, and it's not a narrow, holy word of God, that preacher's a liar. They're not preaching the unadulterated word of God to you. Oh, yeah. The flim-flam way of Scripture, where the cake bakers just have no conviction in their preaching. They're not targeting the sin, and they don't want to offend anyone. And because of that, they have become cake bakers. Flim-flammers. And when you become a cake-bake flim-flammer, the devil will make sure you're getting money for it. And once you get money for it, you get even more snared in your cake-bake-ism, and you start promoting and raising up more cake-bakers. Preaching a loosey-goosey gospel. The same way Candy Montgomery got that love novel from her pastor, opened up a door of lust, opened up a door to sexual immorality, masturbation, and then adultery, and then murder. Small little opening opened all that. Wow, how did that happen? The devil's involved, that's how. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. What do you think this social media is doing to people out there that have not submitted to the deliverance ministry? What do you think it's doing to their soul? They're binding themselves to harlots, sexual immorality. Dr. Rebecca Brown years ago told me in a Brooklyn conference back in 2002, she wrote the book Vessel of Honor. All these people get involved in this masturbation that they were masturbating with themselves. And what are they? If they're a man or woman, it's sex with self, meaning homosexual acts are being committed. Yeah, it's pretty deep. That's what she said. The Lord spoke to her. She wrote a book called Vessel of Honor. I met her. Now, many be on a road that leads to destruction. How can you get on that road? Loosey-goosey preaching. That love novel that Candy Montgomery got her on a road of destruction. We don't want to be on that road, people. What your cake-baked flim-flam preachers aren't telling you. Get off that road. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that lead unto life, and few be there that find it. I got news for you. The broad road, the enemy's making it very obvious for you to find. The straight and narrow way has to be found. You have to look at it and get it on your own. You got to look at the Word of God. All right, let's just go to the Word of God. Let's not take what I'm telling you. Let's just say, hey, I'm going to be in the book of Galatians today, and I'm opening to chapter 5. Praise God. Let me read. You know what, Brother Allen? Brother Allen, we're going to read today. I don't know what this is, but let's read it. Galatians 5, verse 19 mm-hmm. through 21. Can we read that today in our Bible study? I don't know what it is, but let's read it, people. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. What's it say, Brother Allen?
It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Whoa, can Amen. You repeat that last one?
That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Woo. Now, he King James us. That's going to require a 12th grade level of reading. I'm going to third grade you with the NLT.
Which one? Which translation are you going to use?
NLT. I'm going to third grade
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord. Pretty good.
I'm going to third grade
Pretty good
you.
Translation.
You want to third grade them?
No, you can do it.
You want
or
me
I
to third grade them?
You.
Okay, I'll third grade them.
Okay, all right.
You 12th graded them. I'm third grading them.
All right, praise the Lord.
Leave it to me.
No, it wasn't intentional. It's just I thought we defaulted.
You wanted to sound
to the
smart,
King
didn't
James
you?
This.
Did you put a ye in
I,
there? No.
I modestly, on an ever lesser scale, want to sound smart, but maybe we should just always use the NLT.
I'm third grading.
The other way.
No, we're going to start doing 12th grade, third grade, because King James is important because everybody knows it so well. Now, here we go.
Okay.
But when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, how could you follow them? Going along with them. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. I wonder what that could be. I wonder. Idolatry. Let me think about that. Maybe putting something before
Money.
God? Maybe something
Money.
That you just love so much it's like become your God?
My favorite show.
Your property. The
My
pride of life.
Team. My car.
Sorcery. Hostility, quarreling. Come on. Have you looked at Christian Facebook threads on Disgracebook lately? Jealousy, outbursts of anger. I've done that. I literally have done that. Driving around here, I got to repent immediately. And we have to pray for godly sorrow, not just repent with lip service. We got to get real deep-rooted repentance, guys. Pray for godly sorrow every day, because what does that do? It works true repentance. You want true repentance, not lip service. John the Baptist went over this. What that is that those that are just repenting but not really repenting, and it's kind of surface level. We want godly sorrow poured out on us. Get on your knees. Ask God for godly sorrow to help you break up that fallow ground so seeds of righteousness can be sowed on your spirit, man, your soul, your body. Now, here we go. Outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Paul says, that means it's expounded. Imagine if he did that. We'd be here all day. Let me tell you again. He must have told him already. As I've told you before. Yeah, it looks like he did. That anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. Oh, boy, we had our Bible study today, and we read something we shouldn't have read. It convicted us, and now we're thinking we got to live holy. Why is this happening to us? Because Joel Osteen just doesn't tell us this stuff. Our cake baked flim flam flippy flappy preacher is not telling us this stuff. He never goes in this part of the Bible. Why does he skip over it? Why does the wind seem to blow and pew, that page just flips on by? In every sermon he's ever had. Because this word convicts. This word instructs. This word will make it very real and ready and right to you that you need to close some doors today. And get you on the Matthew 7, 13 to 14, that straight and narrow path. Guys, what your cake big flim flam preacher is not telling you is what me and Alan are telling you. We are telling you the secret to success in the faith. And it takes a work in believing what God's saying and just doing it. Is it worth it, Alan? I'm curious.
Absolutely, it's worth it. Because the law of God is everyone reaps what they sow. And when you sow righteousness in your life, like you worship God, you put God and the gospel first. You live a strive to please God with a holy life. When you act on the word 100% wholeheartedly, when you tithe to the ministry that feeds you, when you have a first class life at work where you work hard and you're honest and you love your coworkers, when you help people by praying for them or helping them when they're down, and when you understand faith that God has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, and you act like it. When you do things like these that are in the Bible and clear, God will bless you because it's the law of God. Everyone reaps what they sow. Amen.
You see, folks, eternity is real. And it's worth believing what we're telling you than gambling with what they're telling you. Because if they're wrong, the kick big flim flam flippy flappers, grace overload preachers. Now here's a kicker, and you might not believe it, but I believe it. Grace preaching is very important. Grace gets us in the door. Grace is an important message. But when you brought it to an imbalance is when it becomes a problem. You see, salt, when it's balanced, is good. Sodium, in its own essence, is poisonous. Chloride, in its own essence alone, is poisonous. But when they're brought together, there is a balance and can become very beneficial as a provider of the proper mineral for your body, not in an overload sense, and also for a preserver and a disinfectant. And we are the salt of the earth. We are balanced. We're supposed to be balanced. But when there is an imbalance, and it can go the other way, and God gave me a warning back in 2005 on this. I had a dream of him warning me where we were doing too much messages on like this. And I don't want to get into the dream because it was so terrifying, but he warned me to move on over to also mix in grace. And I did. You go back and look at those messages, you'll see me doing many messages. Friend Closer Than a Brother was one of them around that time, if it's still online. Talking about the Holy Ghost, our friend, our counselor, our guide here on earth with us. You know, many messages on grace I had to bring into that balance. I was warned. And I did it. And that has to work in line. But when you're overloaded on one end, that balance is not there. And this is an important word. And this is the instruct of the Word of God. Why? Why are we telling you this? We want you to get off any aspect of being on the broad word, road of destruction, their broad words of preaching, which seem to emanate a lascivious lifestyle. And the overload of grace sometimes is rooted in osis, what we call once saved, always saved, eternal security, which Derek Prince said he cast out of people, a demon that was calling itself eternal security. It literally identified itself as eternal security. Another demon he dealt with that he cast out was called Hebrew Roots in people, where they were trying to be these Hebrews, taking them out of just the simplicity of the gospel. There's all types of fallacies being imparted to people. And when you open your spirit up to it, it can become a hazard to your soul. We have to be careful. Watcher Radio has been on the air 23 years. God kept me alive and on the air all this time. And he raised me up to preach words like this. And they're not just at you. We're preaching at a mirror. Literally.
Amen. These broadcasts do bless me also when we do them, because I'm sowing good things into other people's lives, as are you. But a little more on the Hebrew root stuff. Jesus said to follow me, and 1 Peter 2:21 from Peter the Apostle says that we follow Jesus in his footsteps. Jesus did not go around blowing his chauffeur for us to go around blowing our chauffeurs. It's he cast out.
Did you feel it?
So, and all Jesus right, called his. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you're going to take me down another subject matter, which we're going to be talking about with Wolfenstein.
Just one more thing. Jesus called his father
out
in
right
heaven.
Now. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus called his father in heaven, Father. Jesus did not call his father in heaven, Yahweh. All right? So we don't need to call Jesus Yeshua to be more spirit. We don't need to call. We call Father in heaven, Father God, Father, or Father God. And we don't need a chauffeur to cast out devils.
Dude, I just blew it at you. Did you feel it? All right, listen.
Yeah, you and the only people who should be who blow chauffeurs are Jews, Messianic Jews, Ewoks in Return of the Jedi, the Star Wars movie, and Planet of the Apes. Okay?
Whoa, you don't even need stole to my thunder that. There, man.
That was my line. I made up that line.
No, I made up that. Steelers go to hell. It says it right here.
So liars go
to
hell,
too.
Stole
my line. See, I renounce Steven Keltron's lie. All right.
Look, we'll settle this offline, but I did not lie, and I'm not stealing, Richard.
Okay, let's keep going. All right, so 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 is another one Paul talks about. And do not be deceived. You see, Paul's saying there's deception involved in you thinking and others thinking that the greasy grace is just going to carry them along. So you could be deceived. And I'm not saying that grace is not real, because if grace was not real, I'd be gone.
Me too.
And the message of grace is important.
Without grace, we'd all be piles of ashes.
But the message of the straight gate is also important. They both have to be preached in a balance. And Paul says, don't be deceived here at 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot to unwind there. A swindler. You know, I was a salesman for many years, and the Lord rebuked me. I had to renounce. I had like a couple dreams. I was on a fast. And a couple dreams of me writing up contracts that were kind of in the gray area just to get the job. I had to renounce them. God was telling me to renounce. I had to break the curse of being a swindler. Sales can do that. I see these people doing these commercials. Kathy Griffin's a hardcore believer, Christian. She's doing some commercial about some pills and stuff that you just know they're not taking. So I'm wondering, is that also lying and being a swindler? I mean, how wide open is that? We need to reflect on that and get rid of all swindler. You're working in sales, you might want to find a new job. Sales sometimes requires us to go into a realm of just BS. You know what that means? And
Barbara Streisand?
You overbloviate what your product is. You overbloviate what you're getting someone involved in, especially if there's a contract. And I was given a dream.
One of the rules of state. Oh, go ahead.
I was given a dream specifically shown. I was shown of contracts I manipulated in a way to make them look better. And I remember one customer called me up years later and says, you gave me, they told me this, that, and hung up on me. I was like, whoa, I know that, you know, I was bending the truth a little bit here. And I justified it. So swindler, the curse of the swindler. You want to break that here tonight, today. What were you going to say, Brother Alan? Sorry.
I don't know if it was a great point, so let's just forget it.
Okay. I forgot it.
Okay.
So, 1 Corinthians 6:9, pretty important, I believe. And did we go over this? Yeah, we went over that. We went over that. Oh, my God, I'm out of stuff to say. Ah, help me.
Hey, I don't remember reading that.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I don't think we read Revelation 21.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, could you read that, Alan?
Okay, here's the King James. Get the third grade level ready after this. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen.
Don't want to be involved in the second death, guys. Now, here's the simplicity of this. If we're right and we're living what we're preaching here to you, which we're fighting to, we're striving to put this flesh down. This flesh wants to do all types of stuff. Oh, yeah. But I'm believing what I'm reading. How about that? So if you're believing what we're saying and doing what we're saying, you're going to make it. You're living for God. And on Judgment Day, we'll all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul talked about a record being called unto his soul. Well, here's the record unto your soul. You believe God and you put off these things and you got on the straight and narrow path and you walked the straight and narrow. And because of that, you're hearing a different phrase from the lips of God. You're not hearing, depart from me, thou wicked, I never knew you. What do you want to hear on that day, Alan?
I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord.
There you go. Amen. Well done. There is a race we're running. Oh, yeah, this is a race. What your cake bake flim flam preachers are not going to tell you. What your cake bake flim flam Sunday service is probably not telling you. That adultery is equated into the lust. That murder is equated into the realm of just anger and bitterness and resentment. That swindling is opening up into a big arena and stealing is into a big arena. We have to dial it in. I'm going to read the third grade level.
Okay.
So you have no excuse. Either me wouldn't have one. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, all liars. Their fate is in the lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Guys, I don't want you to believe that you had the stamp of approval of God to continue sinning. Because when sin abounds, grace much more abound. We get it. But we can't push the envelope. You ever hear the term pushing the envelope? You ever hear the term grace under pressure?
Yeah.
Great Rush album. Well, guess what? You could put grace under pressure. And you don't know where that line is. And I encourage you to listen to God is a Killer by A.A. Allen, where he goes into this a little bit deeper. And of that line, where we just don't know where it is. Now, we're going to be doing a message, Alan touched on it a bit, on the deception of making the simplicity of the gospel into something it's not, and ensnaring many into thinking that they could do outward manifestations of performance to be holy. And you cannot. Jesus has fulfilled all the feasts except one, the Feast of Trumps. Jesus went on to say he was our Shabbat rest. Did you know that?
Also, love is the fulfillment of the law.
So all this letter of the lawing, people, if you notice, these people that are getting under the letter of the law, they have very limited power. They're not doing mass deliverance and healings. You've never seen some great, powerful revival out of that movement of letter of the law legalism. Because the spirit can't move.
I got a question for you. Are we basically saying that no Christian revival has ever taken place that was started by Hebrew roots or calling Jesus Yeshua or blowing shofars? That's basically what we're saying. Is that right?
We are 100% saying that.
The great men of God, the best, the most effective Christians of the last 250 years have all been casting out devils, holiness preaching, Pentecostal white people who called Jesus Jesus and called Father in heaven Father. Is that right?
Pretty much. The power of God seems to manifest in that type of preaching. So I've always had the mindset of don't fix what ain't broke. Meaning, if and the ministry that the Lord brought me into, I mimicked from my pastor at the time, and unfortunately, he got engrafted in Hebrew roots and went down. But, and then they stopped doing mass deliverance. For some reason, the power shifted. And here's the key. You can get deceived into thinking the power is in the performance of some type of legalism. It's not. I had a firsthand account of it where the power was there and then it shifted into this Yahwehism and then the power was gone. I watched the reverse happen. I'm here to tell you, don't fix what ain't broke. If you know the preachers and men of God had moved in great power and the way they did it, then you do it. That's right. Did you ever hear of just copying someone that's successful? Duh. Yeah. It like works. You look at A.A. Allen. You look at Jack Coe. You look at great men of God that have moved in great power and signs and wonders. They kept the simplicity of the gospel. They preached the have faith in God message and that all things are possible for God.
And God will pour out his power on any living person who does what God says. God will do a revival anywhere where God's word is preached and they preach holiness and they cast out devils and they call people to repent and they weep with godly sorrow over their sins and they worship God and believe God for miracles. God, that's happened lots of times in any part of the world. It's happened in Africa, Europe, America, anywhere where they do that, it happens because God is completely fair. Everyone reaps what they sow. Amen.
Amen. So let's not get ensnared in someone tells you got to get a bugle and then the bugle is power. Not necessarily true. I've done mass deliverances, many of them. And I've seen demons fluttering and flying at just a command in the name of Jesus and proclaiming the blood of Jesus over them. Just like that. Thousands of demons coming out. That's what we want, folks.
Amen.
Don't fix what ain't broke. Don't try to make this thing much harder than it might be perceived to be, because it's very easy. Live holy. And you might say, well, Baal is commandments. Well, we are. We're believing the gospel. And the gospel was given in the book of Acts as being very simple. And there was great warring going on, specifically with Hebrewite-type Christians were trying to bestow that way on the Gentile believers. And they decided, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to, this is what God wants, the simplicity of the gospel, period.
And Jesus called his commands commandments. So just because Jesus or the New Testament calls what it says commandments doesn't mean we go back to Exodus to see what to do. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That's a commandment.
Amen.
It's in the New Testament. It's not old. Amen.
I believe it. Alan believes it. This message was brought to you by Keltron Coffee. That doesn't exist. But we have the Telegram chat, which we announce all our prayer times, which I encourage you to join us. We had this morning the declaration.
Confessing over ourselves. Confessing health over
ourselves. Declaration prayer at 10 a.m. today. Monday, we have the communion power prayer, 6:30. Wednesday, we have the communion power prayer. Thursday is Bible study with Brother JV. Saturday is the declaration confession prayer. So join the Telegram group on the link below in the comments and get into our prayer groups and join us for some good time of prayer. And that's what it's all about, guys. Just want to reach out to God. That's all we want to do in this hour. We want to pray for the gifts of God to move in our lives. Anybody out there want the gifts of God moving in their life? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, dreams, visions, praying for the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in our lives and acting on them. We all need it.
Amen.
Watch your radio saying farewell.
Bless y'all.
Brother Alan is going to say peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you all. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you all richly. Amen.
Amen. So watch your radio saying farewell. We'll see you next week. God bless you all. Amen.
God bless. Amen.